Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcasts. I'm talking about the First Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bang, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bang and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
What up? What's going down? And good day to you all out there. Man, listen, it is November, and November has always meant Survivor Series, and it looks like we're starting the runway off a little early, I don't know, but are we starting it off right? We're going to talk about that because it's time for you to get ready to talk with us unconventionally about wrestling. It is time for the First Black Champ podcast, and it is your podcast and the Continental Champion out here, man. You know the deal, man. Camp from the Port.
And I am J.R. Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast on the Barbershed Network, home of FBCPOD. Make sure you follow us on everything at the FBCPOD. And good show prepared for you today because the time is now. But who's the time going to be now for? It's a good question. Who is going to be going up against each other? What the bracket look like? The Time Is Now tournament is here. It has started. And it looks like we have all of the participants in this joint.
Okay.
So Jey Uso, Miz, Rusev, Damian Priest, Mac. We'll pause on that in a second. LA Knight, Sheamus, Shinsuke Nakamura, Gunther, the young OG, Javon Evans, Solo, we don't know yet, Bronson Reed, Carmelo Hayes, Penta, Finn Balor. But let's start with Jey Uso defeating The Miz on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And interesting that they did, in fact, go with who we thought they were going to go with, Jey Uso, winning this matchup. But if you watch the matchup on SmackDown, they kept referencing that John Cena and The Miz is probably – The Miz is probably the person that's linked with John Cena more than anybody that's currently on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch wrestling, you knew The Miz was going to lose as soon as they kept saying that. But I guess my question is not necessarily the tournament.
Okay.
My question is, if you're saying that, why wasn't The Miz part of this whole John Cena retirement tour at any point?
You know, that's a really good question, and there's really no good answer. You know what I'm saying? Especially considering within that mix, we got the Sami Zayn match, and we got who was that we wasted a night on? In April, so somebody, man, somebody R-Truth. Got one. There you go. Yes. R-Truth, and I don't know. The Miz, I don't know what The Miz is doing anymore in wrestling outside of obviously tremendous PR, right? Because that's why they have him on the payroll. But Miz is not necessarily the enhancement talent anymore. He's not the heat check guy anymore. He's not where are your promos at? Let's bring out The Miz. He's not even that anymore. So it's almost like are your contract negotiations in limbo? Did you try to do something for your wife's contract and now that's why yours is like looking like this? Or is John Cena like, you know what? We kind of faced each other because I really didn't like you. And I don't want to sully my retirement run with people I don't really like. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Because even as you ask that question and I say all this, I actually don't recall a time on any documentary or rivalry series where John Cena or Michael Mizanin are talking positively about one another. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, I ain't never seen it either, but I'm not about to sit up and act like that I've looked at every WWE documentary, right?
Right.
But I'll go with the R-Truth part, because okay, I think outside of R-Truth, the majority of the people that John Cena wrestled outside of Sami Zayn, even though I get it, those might be the only two, but Sami Zayn can have a great match with a broomstick, so I don't mind it. And that was a great match.
Yep.
My issue is probably the R-Truth joint, because it went nowhere at all, period.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. It went nowhere. So I'm sitting here looking at The Miz and looking at R-Truth, who are both connected themselves, and then who I would have rather saw a match with, hands down is The Miz. Hands down. And it's not even close. If you were to say Miz or R-Truth, who do you want to see wrestle John Cena? It's The Miz. Yeah. But at the same time, it does question, just like you did, it questioned, I won't say it questions The Miz WWE standing, because I think The Miz is in that lane like some others that are WWE forever. Like, I don't see Miz wrestling for any other organization. Just don't. It would be weird to see The Miz in AEW. It would be weird to see The Miz in TNA or NWA or in the indies. It would just be like, what are we doing here? Like, Miz, you can retire. You got a beautiful wife. You got beautiful kids. You got a big-ass house. Unless you're just trying to keep the payments and shit, then there's really no reason for you to be wrestling right now. You could go do the World Rules Real World Challenge. You could just host that for the rest of your life, and you can still pay what you need to pay. So I don't see it. But
with you.
It's like, just look at some of these people, and one of them don't match, and R-Truth don't match if The Miz is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And he loses first round in the tournament to Jey Uso, which I actually thought that was not going to happen due to War Games and stuff anyway. Or what I even said was, if he does win, my prediction was Melo would cost him the match, and then he would cause Melo the match. And that would lead to some traditional matches for War Games. I mean, not War Games, but Survivor Series. That clearly didn't happen because Jey Uso won. Now, there's no bracket. Unless you saw
shit. No, because even the way they've been announcing them, it's almost like this is the GM storyline now. it's the GM storyline send-off for John Cena. Hey, let me show you some of the best matches I can get to see who you think should go against John Cena. It's like, all right, bro.
Like, it's like, it's a mixture of the Royal Rumble back in the day. It's a mixture of that with, like, I'm guessing WrestleMania 4
or some shit. Right.
Like, but instead of people instead of putting people in a bracket, once you choose them, it's, oh, okay, we just gonna pick them in matches and stuff like that. I mean, so let's go through these matches. So we already talked about The Miz losing to Jey Uso. Rusev, let's go to Raw. Rusev did defeat Damian Priest. We were wrong.
Yeah, super shocked by that.
And it was kind of clean.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's I was going to say, you know, because technically that was his finisher. It felt like.
Yeah. And then a matcha kick. Was that the right decision?
Yeah, for me, no. Because that this is not that kind of win is not in line with the promo that John Cena cut for the tournament. Mm. It's not in line with it. That was my other beef, because Sheamus and Shinsuke, it's like, wait, I thought this is for you to give an opportunity on the way out, just like the one you got on the way in. No pause, because he said it, right? But Rusev don't need to wrestle you because he don't got hair now. What are we doing? You know, like Damian Priest is the one that needs the marquee match out of those two. And even with the way John Cena talking about it, Damian Priest don't need it either. He was the world champ last year. He don't need it either.
My thought is, if The Miz didn't win, Rusev didn't have to win.
There's that. Like, had I saw the Miz match first, I'd been mad.
Right. Because if it's two people that have a history with John Cena, as much as I'm a Rusev fan, I'd rather be The Miz. Now, I guess you could say, from a fan's perspective, let's just put the internet wrestling community here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were mad at Rusev taking the L of John Cena.
True.
Even though history serves us that the American goes over on the European at WrestleMania, y'all.
Absolutely. Come on now. That was a Vince McMahon product. What you thought was going to happen?
I don't know what y'all thought was going to happen. Hulk Hogan was never going to go over Nikita Koloff, y'all. So Vladimir Kozlov was never going to go over against John Cena, all right, at WrestleMania too. So, but when I'm looking at everybody, I'm like, okay, because now I could go and say I could pull the thing of, yeah, man, you cost me my career. My shit wasn't the same after I lost to you. You buried me. But you're not going, unless you're going to put him in the final, yeah. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
So he could have got the Miz treatment of all I care.
Exactly. Because, shoot, Rusev doing that, and John Cena's promo would be like, no, Bobby Lashley and Vince McMahon's cuck fantasy ruined your career in the WWE. It ain't got nothing to do with me. That's a mighty fine speech.
There you go. Yeah. So now, the surprise that wasn't a surprise to us, but it was a surprise when the name was announced and the theme music came up. We said Matt Cardona was going to be in this tournament, and Matt Cardona was not in this tournament. It was Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder went up against LA Knight, on SmackDown in a losing effort. I knew you was dead set. Like, no, this needs to be Matt Cardona. This doesn't need to be Zack Ryder. Thoughts?
Again, we are not sticking to what John Cena said in the promo. We're not sticking to it. Because Zack Ryder has wrestled. Yeah, he was with the company before. Like, Matt Cardona ain't. That would have been the faces from other places or whatever he said, or we've never seen before. So that's what it is, not this. But hey, look, maybe Kevin Owens is right? Like, but also, the upsetting part about it is only just promo packaging, right? I don't really care about that as much as I care about LA Knight going over, getting a victory, and something that they're making matter. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, in 5 years, will the Time Is Now or the Last Time Is Now tournament, will it really hold the weight? Will we really care after so many other surprises and so many other milestones and retirements will happen. We don't know yet. And I'm not here to say that it won't matter, but at least LA Knight can be like, hey, well, look, I won a match during this time for something marquee, because that don't happen for me often.
Well, with this makes to me LA Knight the odds on favorite to winning this.
Okay.
It to me, there's no other person that needs it more.
For sure.
Than LA Knight won. Nobody.
That's
needs
the fact
more than
right LA there.
Knight. And second of all, when we even look at some of the others, I start to look and I say, do I need to see John Cena versus any of these guys? There's only one out of the list of people that will be named after Sheamus and Shinsuke Nakamura that I feel like needs to win this tournament.
Hmm. Okay.
It's probably going to surprise some people. But they're selling merch. They're selling merch for Zack Ryder, his wife. His significant other has re-signed with the company and everything and has become a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Zack Ryder coming back the right choice for him? Or should this be Matt Cardona debuting in the WWE?
In my world, it should be Matt Cardona, only because show Matt the respect that you showed Cody Rhodes. You know, Stardust didn't return. You know, I don't know. Maybe the negotiations with the business, something about it. I don't know. Who knows? Because to answer Donnie here, kind of, because he's a weak ass pop for Zack Ryder. But in my mind, the pop was weak because this era don't know Zack Ryder. They know Matt Cardona. And yeah, you might think of like what 10 years ago as, man, that was 10 years ago. It was just 10 years ago. Yeah, for us, we adults, it's new 18-year-olds out here. There's new 15 to 18-year-olds out here that have never seen or cared about Zack Ryder. And that's why it's got to be a money play for Matthew and his wife Chelsea. You know, like that's how I look at it. I mean, look, I'm not about to get mad at another man's decision for trying to make money the best way that he knows how, but I don't know. I just don't know if I believe that the Zack Ryder name, likeness, and images have more dollar or a higher dollar value amount today in 2025 going into 26 than the Matt Cardona name, image, and likeness does.
Yeah, I would rather see Matt Cardona. I think there's so much you can do with the Matt Cardona character, mm-hmm. and is only so little you can do with the Zack Ryder character.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, was the Long Island bro.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 you know it. With the Matt Cardona character, I think it's so much you can do with that. So I think the Zack Ryder thing from a merch standpoint, you're a winner. So if I'm thinking merch, I'm like, hey, shit, I bet. Let me go ahead and get this Zack Ryder bread. But from a character standpoint, and I think from a merch standpoint too, we could have definitely saw something with Matt Cardona. Let me preface this by saying, I'm not saying that this dude is about to be a world champion. I'm not saying that they should put Matt Cardona in the world championship picture and all of this stuff. I am not one of these internet wrestling marks that see this shit and be like, oh man, we got to put he back. We got to put Matt Cardona in the world champ. I'm not that. We ain't doing that. But what I am saying is that I feel like from a character standpoint, is a lot to build around Matt Cardona. And there's only so little that you can do around Zack Ryder. And that's why Zack Ryder would not be coming back in the WWE if it was me. It would be Matt Cardona. Now, a match that we could really just speed through real quick because there's really no reason to do anything, but Sheamus beat Shinsuke Nakamura. We said that was going to happen because the person who has the history is Sheamus. So it looks like everybody who got the history with John Cena won but The Miz.
Yeah. Which, hey, and you know what, Michael Cole, you ain't slick either, my brother, because that I feel like this tournament is unfortunately going to come down to Jey Uso and LA Knight based on how Michael Cole was talking, because Miz got Jey Uso. I don't recall people kicking out the skull crushing finale and then losing the match. And then, and Michael Cole says something to the effect of Jay needing this win or Jay looking to cement himself as a, I don't know. He said something that he should have said 2 years ago is the point I'm making. And I'm like, wait a minute now. Hold on. Because you already setting up if I had to pick an alternate person to LA Knight, you're already setting up somebody to just get visibility and leave. But I didn't like the rhetoric or the jargon, if you will, around Jey Uso and his victory over The Miz either. I didn't like that. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I just like, what are we doing here? But, I mean, look where we at right now. Look where we at right now in the world. So let's move over to the rest of the matches that were announced. And I'm not shocked and surprised. I do like one person being brought up in this moment, even though he's going to die. And that's Javon Evans. I like seeing the young OG in this tournament. Yeah. I thought it was dope to see his name, but he's going to go up against Gunther, which means he's going to die. He's going to sell this match well. He's going to sell this match well. Let me just say this. This is going to be a well-sold match for Gunther.
Yeah, no, for sure. But see, that's my problem. See, Javon Evans belongs in this tournament. But he belongs, like, he need two matches at least to be like, oh, shit, look at the new young guy that's here. Like, he should have beat Shinsuke. And Gunther should be facing Sheamus. Like, I feel like that should have happened instead. Because this is going to be a great moment for Javon. And honestly, he's the kind of wrestler that the promo is about. And he about to get his ass turned into hamburger meat on Monday Night Raw.
I look. You know how they had that like upset? Like, I think it was like Alexa Bliss that had an upset in the tournament when she first got to the main roster when she was doing the fairy dust shit. Thing. It's like, oh, okay, this ain't gonna be that situation. Like, yeah, this is, nah. I don't see this being the oh my goodness, it's an upset. We couldn't predict this. Anything can happen in the WWE. No, yeah. Gunther's gonna kill the young OG. Yeah. Solo Sikoa versus another person that would be a surprise, which means that there are only two. There's only two. Oh my God, it's a surprise. So it's going to be Solo versus that person. Is it more likely than not that this is the upset? Or this is going to be somebody where you'd be like, oh, of course they're going to be Solo. And who could that be?
Well, see, since we saw Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler is going to show up. But do I even care if Dolph Ziggler beats Solo Sikoa? Do I even care? No.
So that's who you picked.
Yeah. Because if we're literally taking one of the hottest indie wrestlers and making him be his WWE gimmick, then why do I expect somebody else that's really indie to come here and be a part of a match? Why do I expect the one-off now? if we didn't get it with one of the most prominent names in the indie scene already.
Yeah, I don't see nobody else other than Dolph Ziggler. You know what I was going to say? I was going to do the Matt Cardona shit. I was going to be like, Nick Nemeth is going to be going up against John Cena. No, it's going to be Dolph Ziggler. And yes, I don't see nobody else other than... Look, I'll just say this, Paul. I would be surprised if it's not Dolph Ziggler. I will mark out if it's not Dolph Ziggler. And it don't matter who it could be at this point. If it's anybody other than Dolph Ziggler, I'm going to be like, oh, shit, they pulled the trigger on insert person here.
Yep.
Everything that you just said and the fact that it was Zack Ryder who was the SmackDown pick, why wouldn't it be the Raw pick for Dolph Ziggler? Like, why would – it makes no sense any other way unless you're going to shock – unless you're going to say it's Chris Jericho unless on Monday. Here's, even though I don't think this is going to happen.
Right.
I'm with you. This is Dolph Ziggler by a mile. It ain't nobody close. You ain't got to hide him coming in. He knows everybody. Hey, man, y'all know what I'm here to do. We figured it. Boom. Right. Unless, because it's Solo. Unless you're going to have Solo talking on the microphone and doing his jokes. And then all you of a sudden you see the millennium countdown. Now that is the only other now that's the extreme mark out.
Yeah.
If Solo is talking, because here's the play here. Now, mind you, don't think this is gonna happen, ladies and gentlemen. However, when was the last time a Samoan was in the ring talking? And the Millennium Countdown came on. When he debuted.
Yep. Lily was, damn near, 20 years ago to the day now? Damn near. Yeah.
So, when Jeritron. I look at this, this is Solo versus Dolph Ziggler. I can read this a mile away, and Dolph Ziggler will win. However, the only... You can put anybody in this spot and not mark out.
Mm-hmm.
But the only real true, like, holy shit moment is if Solo is talking and he says, who's going to face me? Like, who really want it with me? And then we hear the music and the Millennium Countdown starts playing.
Yeah.
And then Chris Jericho's theme music plays. And then we're sitting at the looking at the screen and say, oh my God. Oh my, that is the only legitimate outside of Dolph Ziggler moment that's happening. Cause let's go down the line. Rock ain't wrestling on Raw.
Nah.
Stone Cold ain't wrestling on Raw.
Yeah.
Goldberg is at the crib.
Thank God.
When you look at people that had issues with Solo, there's really no, Trick Williams?
Right. Hey. And again, I would love that pick. If we're doing that, then let's do that. But yeah, I don't know. See, I honestly, the more I think about this, the last time is now tournament should have been done on NXT. It just should have been done on NXT. Just all of it. I don't care about your old rivalries. I don't care about none of that. You said that basically I'm trying to recreate the Ruthless Aggression moment for somebody in 2025. And with that, you get a chance to do it because in one fell swoop here, you get to be on Saturday night's main event, which is a milestone type of event within the company. You go against John Cena in the main event, Hall of Famer, legend, even now coined by Paul Levesque as the overall greatest of all time. And you get an Intercontinental Championship match. And if you win it, you'll get to retire John Cena and be the Intercontinental Champion in the same night. Literally everybody in NXT can benefit from that. Everybody. We got three people left that can benefit from that. That's in this damn tournament, though. Three. One definitely losing.
So that's Javon. Hey, that's Javon Evans.
Yep.
We know he losing. Who's the other two?
LA Knight and Solo.
Okay, so that actually brings me to the next match. Bronson Reed versus Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, I forgot about them. So we got five.
Oh, so you're putting both of those two in the mix.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is, okay, my bad. Because I'm reading the notes again. This is the only match, the only complete match that's in line with that promo. This is the only one. Because Carmelo Hayes absolutely needs the dub and the belt. He needs it. Bronson Reed also, because again, they turned Survivor Series, they turned the Vision into a War Games team, and I forgot he was out there. So we need to beat John Cena at Saturday night's main event.
So while I believe that LA Knight is the odds-on favorite, to me, this tournament means nothing if Bronson Reed does not win it.
Mm.
Here's a couple of reasons why. One, as much as I love Lil Vader, as much as I love Pacific Islander Vader, they not giving him the belt. The world title, what I mean by that.
Mm.
But the Intercontinental Championship? Oh, that's yours, fam. That written all over it. You'll just put the plates in there now. So when you talk about not only winning the tournament, but the possibility of winning the Intercontinental Championship, to me, Bronson Reed got to win it.
Mm.
Just like he's the tribal thief.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he splashed the shit out of Seth Rollins before he messed up his ankle and feet. And then doing it again with the Vision putting Seth Rollins out. You have to continue that. And to me, there's no better person to do that with than Bronson Reed.
Mm-hmm.
However, not gonna lie to you, Kemp, the person that I wish wins this, I hope they say, let's do this for him, is Finn Balor. When they announced Finn versus Penta, I said, man, I know he ain't gonna win. And I know he's probably not at the top of the list of people who should win it. But I don't think I'm the only one that believes this. I think that Finn Balor is still a main event person in the WWE. And I believe that this is a huge opportunity to put him back in that light. So while I believe that LA Knight is the odds on favorite to win, while I believe that Bronson Reed, in order for this to be done right, needs to be the winner, my favorite, the person that I would like to see win this tournament, after looking at the people that's now all announced, is Finn Balor. Because he has not been put back in that spot since he hurt his shoulder and lost the first Universal Championship. Finn Balor is way bigger than what they're doing for him right now. Even though he's working it well, he's way bigger than that. And I believe that he win this. Let's get back to normal, y'all.
You can't be mad at anything Finn Balor gets because it's always going to be well-earned. And even though I've said what I said, and I mean every single word of what I say about this tournament, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if out of all the established legends or soon to be legends that Finn Balor emerged from that rubble of them. He'd be the one that I'd be like, yeah, well, he never got his run. Like, he literally never got it. He won the title, had to give it up the next day, and literally they just moved on from it. And the one opportunity he got to get it back, God struck the ring down because he was the demon and he lost the Roman Reigns. Like, that's what happened. So, yeah, I'm not mad at that. I don't love it, but I wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, to me, that's my trifecta right there. That's my holy trinity, John Cena Time Is Now tournament. Now that we know all the participants, was there anybody that was snubbed and not being in the tournament?
Absolutely. J.D. McDonough. His year, his 2025, and keep in mind, he'd been out with an injury, but his 2025 embodied why the tournament should exist. If we're really like getting to it, especially the last 3 weeks from him. Yeah. I was actually super disappointed that he wasn't mentioned in this tournament.
I'm also going to say I wouldn't be surprised if they put Dominic Mysterio in that TBA spot.
Get his belt back.
Yeah, get my belt back. But still, look, but if it ain't Dolph Ziggler, I'm with you. I will hit the bang be knowing alert, but it's meant for you. If if it is Dolph Ziggler, because his, I don't even think nobody else has said it outside of you, but I don't be on the internet like that outside of work. So I'll be looking at the internet wrestling community like that. I see what come past me. So if it is the case, then I bet. But no, I'm with you. There's no reason why this can't be Dolph Ziggler. And when we look at it, I'd like to see Dolph Ziggler versus Finn Balor or Dolph Ziggler versus Bronson Reed. Mm-hmm. Should I like to see Dolph Ziggler versus Gunther? Because the sales is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my last question on this for you is, speaking of everything that you said that was said in the promos about what this Time Is Now tournament represents, and knowing what the second round looks like, is there any pairing that you could see potentially happen with who we see in front of us that will give you that this is what the tournament is about feel? This is that possible match of the night type of situation. This is the Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect King of the Ring. It ain't going to be the last match, but it's going to be the best match. Especially since we don't know what the second round pairing is going to be, because ain't no damn bracket.
Right, exactly. Man, listen. This is the first Black Champ podcast, so I got to give y'all the mythical matchup first. Melo versus the OG. That would have been it for me. I think that would have super slapped. But hey, look, I'm potentially ready to be here for Rusev versus Bronson Reed. So run that, run that. If this is what we're doing, then run that. I do think that all things considered, LA Knight versus Gunther wouldn't steer us wrong. It wouldn't steer us wrong. And that's really it for me. Because, I mean, Sheamus, he has hard-hitting matches. He has the bangers, right?
I mean, it's the easiest is Gunther and Sheamus because.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all of these matches, I feel like I've seen them before and don't really care that much. Hey, look, Finn Balor versus LA Knight. Finn Balor versus LA Knight. I wouldn't be mad at that considering with the role that they're both on right now. But yeah, I'm just not excited. This ain't what I thought it would be. And I'm not excited. Sorry, Jesse Spano. I'm not excited.
In the words of our man Big E, two big men bumping me. Big meaty man bumping me. Gunther and Bronson Reed. That's Vader versus Stan Hansen. or Vader versus another big guy, whatever. But no, I don't mind seeing. Outside of that, yeah, no second round excite me.
Yeah.
At all. Maybe if it is Dolph Ziggler versus Gunther will, but if it ain't Dolph and if it ain't Chris Jericho, which is the high end of the, hey, if this happened, right. That's at the high end. I don't care about the second round. I guess get me to the final four in the title or the last joint at this point, because it's basically a month away. So we will see what happened. Mm-hmm. Now with John Cena being the new Intercontinental Champion and him officially being a Grand Slam, would that fall in line with, like, who to, and when you add the Intercontinental Championship to this, I already said, to me, it benefits Bronson Reed because I don't see them putting the big belt on Bronson Reed. Is there somebody that you feel like really capitalizes off of both winning the tournament and the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah, it is, because it's still the Intercontinental Championship, it does matter. So again, with our odds, our favorite LA Knight, it looks good for his situation. I don't know about Gunther, but Bronson Reed, absolutely. I think even now, Rusev, I think it benefits Rusev because nobody's seen bald Rusev with a mid-card title before. So I think that helps him. I just realized this, and now I'm tempted to change my fucking – no. Let me give a guaranteed hope not. My guaranteed hope not this week is that I don't want Sheamus to get to the finals here and beat John Cena for his first Intercontinental Championship like he beat him for his first World Championship. That's my guaranteed hope not. I'm not watching Saturday night's main event if that's what's going to happen here.
Just go in. Don't even do that.
Yep. Do not do that. I'm not watching. I'm canceling Peacock and I'm not watching. Don't do that. And they raised the price.
I will agree with you. I will agree with you. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Sheamus versus John Cena in his final match and for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
And then just like with John Cena winning the Grand Slam for winning the Intercontinental title for the first time, then Sheamus, that I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no. Oh, I forgot Penta. Even though I don't mess with Penta, he would benefit from this as well.
Yeah. Don't have Cena versus Sheamus. Yeah. And then y'all, I still don't like the fact that Sheamus won his first title in the tables match.
Yeah, saying that too.
Like, so what happened? Like, I still don't like that. But
yeah,
be that as it may, I agree with your guaranteed hope. So let's do that now. Going
hope
to
not.
Survivor Series War Games, the prediction is almost complete. As you guys heard me talk about last week, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Usos, and somebody versus The Vision, Bron Breakker, and Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, who was supposed to be suspended, but he ain't, and somebody. So my prediction is that the last two people will be Damian Priest joining Team Punk while Aleister Black joins Team The Vision.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in that? Am I thinking too optimistic that it would be two newer names being involved in this? Or is it a foregone conclusion that TKO going to be like, yeah, just, hey, Brock, Roman, come on. Y'all in this shit.
Yeah, I forgot, because Paul Heyman. Now you know what that is going to happen. That is going to happen. Hey, even though Roman didn't want to see them till Christmas, the WrestleMania main event, the WrestleMania main events, and Jimmy Uso versus all the Paul Heyman faces of 2025. Yep. Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It should go to Damian Priest and Aleister Black, because Aleister Black needs to look in that high profile of a match, and obviously Damian Priest has had some kind of back and forth with damn near everybody on the other opposite side. But yeah, marquee match, Roman and Brock, makes perfect sense, actually. It kind of took the sales, kind of took the win, not the sales there. Thank you, Bang.
You talk about a guaranteed hope not. I feel you. And Russ, you right. They got to fill up a baseball stadium. I feel you. I feel you. I don't want to see them two niggas in war games. In fact, I'm going to tell y'all right now, and it's probably be a bigger conversation as we get closer to war games. I think the WWE then killed war games.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, it's dead. It was dead off the fact that the cage was open.
Okay, yeah, that too.
It's supposed to be closed. It's supposed to be a 10-foot cage. That's just supposed to be small, tight.
You know, just like we like it.
Yep. All I'm saying is, fam, this. Oh, and you pin somebody. Like, instead of like submission.
Giving up or getting your lung collapsed in there, you know what I'm saying?
Like that's also part of the reason why I don't need them two in there. Because as soon as everybody in, we pinning somebody. Yeah. No, it's supposed to be submission. Like, we don't talk about AEW a lot on this show. But this past week, AEW did Blood and Guts.
Yeah, some of those highlights are crazy.
Very much so. And it's to the point where now the sky blue shit, we ain't got to do. And we ain't got to, bitch ain't got to be like looking like Carrie. But they do their version of War Games better. They do. And if it's anything that I'll pay attention to on AEW, it's Blood and Guts. The women did it better. The men did it better. What was it, last year? Russ, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you watch his AEW like that. But last year, I think it was where they poured the gasoline on Jungle Boy. And they was about to burn him up. And the Young Bucks was like, all right, friend, y'all going too far now. Y'all doing too much. It's over. Hey. Y'all trying to burn people? Like, what are we doing here?
Like, I just wanted to whoop some fucking ass. I didn't want to burn people up.
Right.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I just went to whoop some fucking ass. I want to burn people up. Burning house.
He was tied up on the cage. And one of the young, I think it was Nick, was like, hey, man, what y'all doing? That was the dude that be hurting himself all the goddamn time.
Darby.
Darby Allin was like, are we going too far now?
Right. It's like, no. I've been in intensive care. I've been in intensive care a few times this quarter.
But now you want to stop. You know, at first it was like, let's do whatever. Now you want to stop, huh? It was like ding ding ding, like yeah, hey. There's more entry, and the crazy thing about it is AEW just be putting their shit together just as quick. It's just one show. Some shit happened. It's Blood and Guts. Next thing you know, it's like, how y'all start hating each other?
Yeah.
When y'all start liking each other? All right, let's do it. Like, yeah, they do it better. So yeah. As much as I would want it to be Aleister Black and Damian Priest, they gotta sell out Petco Park. Even though, Kemp, I stand on this. As far as it being San Diego.
There we go.
When they announce Rey Mysterio, and first of all, look, here's my guarantee.
Okay.
Let me put my guarantee out there. We gonna really hate Dominic Mysterio tomorrow. Well, Monday on Raw.
Okay.
Because when John Cena won the Intercontinental Championship and they went back, and he was shaking everybody's hand and everybody's like, They had him and Rey Mysterio together. Similar when Rey Mysterio won his title, they had John Cena and they shook up.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic Mysterio gonna beat the shit out of his daddy on Monday.
What are you doing out here with him?
Yeah, he's gonna go crazy on his daddy. He's gonna whoop the shit out of his daddy, which is gonna set the stage for what's supposed to happen at Petco Park, San Diego, both of their hometowns. Survivor Series. Also, it's Thanksgiving. So, you know, family like to fight during Thanksgiving. They like to argue shit during Thanksgiving. So, we got all of that tied with each other. Plus, the fact that they fathered their son. Plus, the fact that, hey, man, you cheered on John Cena when he beat me. That's why I don't like you, you fucking deadbeat.
You know what I'm saying?
Dominic Mysterio on Monday, if he don't whoop his daddy ass to set the tone, he need to whoop his daddy ass. Like Kurt Angle whooped Shawn Michaels' ass. Like Kurt Angle whooped Eddie Guerrero's ass. When Eddie Guerrero had the handcuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Kurt Angle walked to the ramp. Eddie Guerrero was like, oh, fuck. I'm about to get my ass kicked. I need that. If we don't get that, we have to get Rey Mysterio being out there and something happening and then Dominic turning that corner or sliding into the ring or something and really whooping his daddy ass, taking the mask off, then Rey like this. Like we ain't seen this nigga face.
Right. So right. And then, I see you at Linux Mall, bro.
There's video tape of you. I seen you in person, and there's video tape in front of you. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
You know. What
that
I mean?
With that being said, on Monday, what I need to see is Dominic Mysterio going crazy on his daddy, and then Adam Pearce saying it's official. Rey Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio at Survivor Series, and then Rey saying, nah, we're going to take this up a notch because he's still mad that he'll never be the greatest luchador as long as I'm around. That's why his bitch ass mad. His mama should have whooped his ass more, but she didn't. So don't worry about it. I'm going to do it. And if I lose, I'll get the fuck out.
Let's go, Rey.
But he got to put on that AAA Mega Championship. And then Dominic like, if that's the case, then if I win, you gone. It's like, okay. And if I lose, snip, snip. So that's got to happen. That's not only my guaranteed hope. It's my guaranteed T.
Hey, okay.
That get kicked up a notch on Monday. And it has to be Rey Mysterio getting his ass whooped by his son. So we'll see about that. Now it's time for a segment that I know that y'all be waiting for because y'all be wanting to laugh just as well as we do. It is now time for Do We Care? There's a couple of things that I want to ask Kemp about to see if he cares about. Let's start with Nikki Bella. She turns heel and attacks Stephanie for queer with the Women's Championship belt. Do we care enough about Nikki Bella to care that she turned heel and not get her ass whooped by Stephanie for queer?
The only thing that was important about Nikki Bella turning heel on Monday Night Raw is the fact that she turned heel on Monday Night Raw in Boston, Massachusetts. That's it. I see you, John. I get it. I see you. I see what you and Paul. Yeah. I see what John and Paul had going on. Yeah, it was like, you know what? Yeah. That's how she did me. You know? Oh, man. But other than that, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Other than that, no, we don't care. Nobody cares that Nikki Bella back, man. And I'm sorry. Her intro is still one of the greatest of all time. She looks amazing. But this ain't the era for her. It just isn't. And man, as women just evolve in wrestling, unfortunately, some of these women from the past are just going to have to just realize that they are alumni, nostalgia purposes only. And I do think Nikki Bella's at the top of that list. Sorry, but you look amazing. We don't care.
I don't. I didn't care when I saw the highlights. I just laughed. I guess we're going to get them fighting. I guess this is a name.
Right.
I guess this is a name.
A name that Stephanie don't need.
right at all. Women's War Games. Don't feel like, I don't want y'all to feel like I'm picking on the women. But Women's War Games, Rhea Ripley with the mask on. EOS, I feel like anytime we say it with the mask, it's like War Games is coming now. Because I don't even know what happened to her nose in order for that. Us to be in this predicament right now. But Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Alexa Bliss, and maybe Charlotte Flair, because Charlotte Flair was like, I don't want to be in War Games with this bitch.
Right. Which I was like, hey, I love this.
Okay, so maybe Charlotte Flair, maybe not. But two other women versus Nia Jax, Lash Legend, the Kabuki Warriors, and another woman. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair was on 106 in Sports. Now 106 in Sports. Hey, Park.
That's right.
Sports. With Ashley Nicole Moss and Cam Newton. And she talked about how her injury was worse than what many thought. It turns out that her knuckle apparently like broke or some shit.
Damn.
So she's been out longer than expected, and there's no timetable of her return. Which means she's probably going to be in this match, right? Like, which means that, like, she's going to be in this match?
I guess because the flip side is she is doing promo.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I say I guess is because I never want to come up with a reason to not see Bianca Belair. But I don't think I want it to be this match. Unless she with Lash and Nia, we go. If we're doing that, then we got a different discussion.
Yeah, when I look at, okay, let's just add Charlotte in with the faces, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't think of nobody else other than Bianca being right there and us caring. Unless you're about to say that Stephanie for queer and Nikki Bella's spot. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to be the case.
I feel like with the way everything is going, they got to fit Roxanne and Big Mommy Cool in there somehow.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was thinking, but I'm not mad. Matter of fact, not only am I not mad at Nia Jackson Lash Legend being in this match, because they would normally not be in this match, and it would be Roxanne and Big Mommy Cool. Lash Legend looks amazing on the main roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
She looks like when Bianca debuted, when NXT was going up against the main roster, and how Bianca Belair was whooping everybody ass. Mm-hmm. That's what Lash Legend looks like to me. Her first, 2.5-3 weeks on the main roster show me anything, she's a star. She's a star.
Yeah.
And what I will say too, though, is I said this last week, I don't feel like I'm wrong in saying this. And I'm surprised that I'm saying this again. the tag team title picture looks way more attractive than the world title spots.
Mm.
When you look at this match, you have the Kabuki Warriors, you have Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, you have Nia Jax and Lash Legend, you have three women's tag teams in here. And that's not even counting the potential of Io Sky and Rhea Ripley, because Rhea Ripley don't like how her Asian friends did they girl. So you have 3.5 tag teams in here. So the fact that we like the world champion and her opponent can be an add-on is a far cry from what we've had to say when it came to these women tag team belts in the first place. So if I'll take a positive from any of this, it's that. Now, last and probably least, they did announce a traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen on SmackDown. It's not going to happen on Survivor Series. It's going to happen on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the MFT, Solo Sikoa, JC Mateo, Tala, Tonga, like the Tongas, goddammit, against Sami Zayn, Rey Fenix, Shinsuke Nakamura, and the Motor City Machine Guns.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that might not know who the Motor City Machine Guns is, that's Alex Shelley and Chris Hayden. Your thoughts on this traditional match happening on SmackDown?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that my first thought was when you were reading off the names for Solo's team, I thought of Webby when he said, "Hot drop, drop, top the top, drop, nigga, drop it like it's hot." Yeah, I'm just... that's fun.
Bars.
Hot drop, top, no, hot drop, drop, top the trap, drop. Drop it like it's hot. Yeah, nigga, I'm the shit. Wipe me down. You feel me? But I'm...
wipe me down.
You know, but no, I don't care, because nobody cares about the motherfucking team. The motherfucking team don't deserve to be on a PLE because they're not a draw. And respectfully, because SmackDown has lost a lot of firepower now that the Bloodline, everything Bloodline is gone. And unfortunately, their TV time is lessening because outside of Solo, this unfortunately don't matter. So they're in the right spot to do this. You know, back in the day when there was just Survivor Series matches, like, and not War Games matches, this opened the show. Or no, I'm sorry, no, this was the second match, because you want to start off with a decent amount of star power for the first match to get people hype, and then you throw this one out there. So the fact that this would have been the second, or maybe like the middle bathroom breakish, my pizza arrived, let's use the bathroom Survivor Series match, like the one like that Sam Houston would have been in. Respect to Sam Houston, though. Yeah, they can do this on SmackDown, and in the 15 minutes it's going to take for 10 guys, or to 9 guys to get eliminated. It's cool there. We don't care, though.
Yeah, I don't care. And part of the reason why I don't care is because it should be Sami Zayn and Brandon Group, the Wyatt Six.
Ah. Damn.
Like, why is it... why is Shinsuke Nakamura in this? Why is the Motor City Machine Gun in this?
Yeah.
Why? Like, why can't fight somebody else?
Hey, it's the M&F and team versus the boys in the back, bro. Like, come on, man. We don't... what? Yo, don't ever put this on. You better not make somebody pay for this. You better not. Like, the M&F and team versus the boys in the back. Live on SmackDown. Survivor
it's
Series
the
E.
Motherfucking team versus catering.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, I don't, let me just say this, fam. Don't get me wrong. I am a fan of the teams coming back. We've talked about it on this show. And if you want to dedicate SmackDown to this, then that's great. But if you about to have like two matches and then this match right here, then it's all for nothing. So if y'all doing this, then I need Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez and three other women versus five women over here. Do we got it? Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would want to see. And if we don't have that, then I don't care. We need the Street Profits and another tag team and another guy versus five other guys. If you're going to do that, then just dedicate Survivor Series Friday to nothing but traditional Survivor Series matches. If you don't have that, then I definitely don't care about the motherfucking team and the boys in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. Especially if they're doing like it, there's always like these Eve celebrations now. SmackDown is like the Eve or the pre-show, if you will. So yeah, why not just do 8 and 10 man tag matches or 10 person matches for the women, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, so we'll see what happened. We have a couple of, what was like 2 weeks away from Survivor Series, which means Survivor Series Friday and all that. We'll see what happens, but until then, it's trash. I just saw sound effects right here for the first time. So I was like, let me see what happens. We might have to play that anytime we talk about the Kabuki Warriors and the Neo Sky.
That's a fact. Kyrie! Like,
yeah, that just means it was a great show today, ladies and gentlemen. So, Camp, you know what to do.
Yes, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate y'all sincerely for checking out this episode. Man, everything that you do, man, for the First Black Champ podcast, you hear that? That means we appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? You just won. Don't worry. We're not going to get the chocolate-covered peanuts out of your pocket and make you pay restitution charge on it, all right? You won. And we win. Every time that you guys participate as part of this community, whether it's the live stream with us on Sundays, or if your likes, your comments, your shares, rumor, innuendo, questions, and just sharing just cruel nostalgia things, cool nostalgia things, not cruel nostalgia things, because that would be unfair. And we also like when you guys show us where you've been at and you're repping wrestling at the same time. So never stop doing it. We thank and appreciate you. And always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, that you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. It's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Bye, Johnny Wrestling.